Chris McQueer is the author of two short story collections, Hings and HWFG. He's recently recorded them both as commercial audiobooks, which will be available soon. And he told Robert Kirkwood all about them.
Twitter jail is a very real thing. This is a fact I learned, much to my surprise. I never thought I, of all people, would ever end up there, but sadly, a wee while ago, I did. After watching the football one Thursday night with my pal, I got a bit steaming. Anyone with a Twitter account will tell you that tweeting while steaming is a recipe for disaster. It's such a truly bad idea that it can and will ruin your entire life. I started writing, I think, 2016, I think. How old was I? 24, going on 25. I'd always wanted to be a writer. I'd always wanted to have a go at writing. But for some reason, it took me until being 24, 25 to finally get my finger out and do something about it. And it was just a case of like, being quite fed up with the kind of situation I was in. And I thought, look, writing kind of gives me something today, and it gets me at my head for a wee while. So I sat down and I wrote a wee story. And I thought, oh, this is great fun. Like, I wish I'd done this a lot sooner. And then I started putting my stories online. I was getting my pals to read it. I was getting my family to read it. And then they were sharing it with their pals. And I built up a wee following as a result of that. And then eventually kind of publisher 404 Inc. kind of took notice. And then that was it. All my wee stories get put into a book. And it's been brilliant. It's been just a cracking couple of years since. So long may it continue, hopefully.
And your new book, we can't say the full title on
aye.
Air.
HWFG. FG. Aye, aye.
You just recorded that within the RNIB Talking Book Studios. How was that?
It was great fun. Really great fun. I really wanted to record the books as audiobooks. But it's kind of out with your hands as a writer, do you know what I mean? It's all stuff that kind of goes on behind the scenes that you don't really have much of a say in. So when I finally got the go-ahead that I was going to get to do it, I was so chuffed. And like, especially with the HWFG, because a lot of the stories I write, I kind of write them to be read out. You know, I do a lot of kind of spoken word stuff, so I write a lot of stuff to be read out. So getting to record all the stories in the book as an audiobook was great fun, and hope people enjoy it. Hope you like listening to my dulcet tones.
A lot of the times the books are given over to actors to read. Could you imagine anyone else doing it other than you?
I don't know. I think when I get told Audible are interested, I kind of assumed they would want somebody else to read them. Mm. I felt like I wouldn't have much say in the matter, but I wasn't quite sure about it. Once I get the go-ahead that I was able to read it out, I was so chuffed. It's just brilliant getting back to these stories that I wrote, kind of bringing them to life, I think. I don't know, as I'm reading it out, I'm kind of thinking, you know, what's this character going to sound like? You know, what kind of voice am I going to do for them? There's one of the stories that had a Cockney guy in it, and I was like, oh no, I'm going to do a Cockney accent here. So we'll see if that makes the final cut.
They're written in your voice, your own aye, voice and your aye. Dialect. How are they received outside Scotland?
No massively successful outside of Scotland. It's a bit of a hard sell, but like, I think like the people that have read them down south and stuff, like I think you do tune into Scots if you're not a kind of native Scots speaker. You do tune into it quite quickly. It's got a nice rhythm to it, and it's just trying to nail that rhythm when you're writing it so people out of Scotland can understand it. But I think once you do that, like, once people give it a chance and read it, you know, it's not a totally foreign language, you know. It's just Scots, we're just fair up the road, so just give it a go. Like,
The Guardian described you as Charlie Brooker on Buckfast. Is that fair?
I was all the men with that. So I quite like it. I like the idea of a kind of Buckfast feud, Charlie Brooker, because he writes some pretty wild stuff. So to be compared to him, but with a wee extra edge, was quite nice.
There's also comparisons to Irvine Welsh as well.
I quite like that as well, but at the same time, That was the kind of quote that was on the cover of the first book. And that, to me, when I seen it at first, I was like, oh, that's amazing being compared to my hero. But then straight away it felt like a kind of weight on my shoulders, a kind of expectation on me now. I was like, oh, people are going to buy that, reading that quote, expecting me to be exactly like Irvine Welsh. And I was like, oh, no, I don't know if I like that. But then also, like, I don't really want to be like kind of bracketed in.
Yes.
With other writers, I'd like to kind of forge my own path. And I'd just like to be known for my own writing instead of kind of comparisons with other Scottish writers. I think that tends to happen, like kind of Scottish writers get kind of lumped in together. Do you know what I mean? So I'd like to try and break away from that, but that's still nice. I'm still flattered. Eh?
Now, you say you do a lot of spoken word performances. What's your favourite stories to read out?
I always do. There's one for Hings which is called Comma Police, which is about a world where chicken commas have been banned. You know what I mean? Because people always laugh at chicken commas, and I thought, well, you know, what would happen if they were just outlawed altogether, and the comma police are going about and they're enforcing this rule. I like reading that out because there's a lot of kind of like guns and stuff in it. I like doing the actions and the shooting and the banging in doors and stuff. It's quite good. The ones I like reading out the most are like the wee kind of shorter stories, like ones that are maybe a page and a half, two or three pages long, that end on a wee punchline. So they're quite good because it almost feels like you're doing a like a stand-up routine, you know, and you're priming people and you're getting them ready for the big punchline at the end. It's good fun. You know what I mean? When I do that, I feel like Billy Corner or something. It's amazing. I love it so much.
And they're standalone stories, but there are recurring characters in them all, especially. So they are kind of interlinked.
Aye. I like to imagine that they all take place in the kind of the same universe. So they, and I like kind of like bringing characters back, you know. I started doing that because I had a wee bit of writer's block after the first book. And I was, you know, you're trying to come up with a whole new cast of characters and settings and places. And then I thought, like, I'll try and write another story about the character called Sammy in the first book. I was like, I'll try and write another story about him. And I found, like, it was just so much easier because I knew this wee guy, that I knew this character. And story just came out about him. And I was like, all right, cool. Well, oh, that works. I'm going to put that in the next book. And it got me thinking, you know, who else did I like for the first book? Or there's a character called Big Angie. I'll write another one about her. And then it just kind of went for there. I like the idea that I can kind of start laying wee threads between all my stories and start building up this wee world and building up wee connections and let readers try and figure them out and try and figure out how other stories are linked.
Now, there's a bonus story at the end of Here We Go about you being in Twitter jail. That is based on a real incident.
Aye, that's you. Aye, it's a real incident. Aye. Basically, I was on holiday a couple of years ago and it was with my ex-girlfriend at the time. And while we were on holiday, this French footballer tried to chat her up online. And I was like, wow, this is insane. But like, I never really thought anything of it until about a week later. I was back home and I was in the pub with my pal. And I was telling him about it after a couple of pints. And he was like, you should say something. And I was like, full of bravado. I was like, all right, I'm going to say something. So I found the guy on Twitter. I told him I was going to kill him. a completely calm and measured response. Anyway, I didn't think anything of it. Went to bed, woke up, tried to log into Twitter, found out my account had been suspended. I was placed in Twitter jail, unfortunately. And then that just, wee things like that just spark off ideas for stories for me. You know, I was thinking, like, what if Twitter jail is a real place? What if I did actually get the jail? What if there was a kind of tweet wing in Berlin? You know, like, what if? I'm frog marched through to another part of the jail by the guy. He doesn't say a word. A couple of times he pushes me in the back so I stumble forward and he laughs. He even clips my heels a few times so I fall over. Who's this? A bearded guard asks, waiting at the end of the corridor. Chris McQueer, the guy says. Take up me the tweet wing, Frank. Tweet wing? I laugh. This is a bam up, eh? A fist hurtles into my ribs. Less of your the bearded says, I've seen you on that Twitter. You damn a he'd write in. Oh, look at me, I've wrote a wee book. Please buy it. You make me sick. I get to my feet, holding my side. It feels like it's on fire. These lads know how to fling a punch.
Now, that's both your books recorded and available in audio. Is that important to you that now anyone can access them?
That is definitely. I did a reading about 18 months ago and it was in the Mitchell Library. There was a group of three visually impaired people there and they were asking me, you know, they said, you know, they like coming to hear me perform my work. So is there an audiobook in the works kind of thing? And at the time there wasn't, but that straight away I was like, I felt quite bad that there wasn't. But then after that, like, the ball started rolling with Audible and stuff, and I'm really, really glad that now the books are accessible for a lot more people. Really chuffed, really glad.